Bears Roundtable is powered by Xfinity.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Chicago Bears Roundtable, the post-bye week version here at PNC Studio at Halas Hall. So pleased you've joined us. I'm Jeff Joniak, along with my broadcast partner from News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, Mr. Tom Thayer, and the senior writer of ChicagoBears.com, Larry Mayer. And our special guest this week is an eight-year Chicago Bear. Looks like he's ready to play and run the rock. Adrian Peterson, the original AP, right?
The original.
Good to see you. You're looking good, my brother. What's
Thank
going
you guys,
on?
Man. Having fun. I'm enjoying life and, you know, staying busy, which is always good.
Yeah, and part of his life, I mean, you've got, obviously, you've got children to deal with as well and to help raise, but you're an author now, right?
Yes, an author.
He's got a couple books. He's hooping it up. He tells me he's been, you know, shooting the rock around because that's his passion as well. So you're enjoying things, huh?
Yes, just staying busy, as you mentioned, with the kids. I'm a slash stay-at-home dad, so I get to see the kids grow and fix cereal this morning. made lunch, peanut butter and jelly. And just enjoying it, man, just enjoying it.
Toast the bread at all or no?
Not toasted. Okay. Not just morning. Some morning they get up and I fix the cereal, then they awesome. Want toast. So somebody have to eat the cereal.
Jeff mentioned about you being an author. So I'm really interested in your book, Don't Diss My Abilities, right? Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, it actually started as a hobby. While I was actually on the Bears, I would just write. My first sentence was Adrian Peterson, born July 1st, 1979, Gainesville, Florida. And I would put it away, come back to it. And then one day I looked up and I had 30 pages, got with a publishing company, and I have a book.
Even before that, though, you have an inspiring story. And for the fans that don't know, you've overcome a lot in your life. What is the book mainly about?
Growing up as a kid with the big dream, with the speech impediment, from a small town of Alachua, Florida, of 7,000 people, and who worked hard. And I'm living proof of hard work. Graduated high school, graduated college, and played 8 years with the Bears. And with the speech impediment, I started speech at the age of 5, and my last year of speech was when I was 23. I actually took 2 speech therapy classes here at Northwestern. Now I'm a motivational speaker. So who would have ever thought a kid who started would become a motivational speaker?
Bob Love in the Chicago Bulls, I don't know if you're familiar with that. Being a basketball fan as you are, you know, similar situation.
Yep.
And he rose to, you know, to become a great businessman and an ambassador for the Chicago Bulls beyond his playing career.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you draw your inspiration from? Who and who?
I would say my dad. He was our head football coach, head basketball coach. And he worked 2 jobs. So when the parents showed up late, we had to stay late. And when the parents didn't show up, we had to drop kids off. And I never saw my dad call in for sick my 16 years staying in my parents' house. And was no excuse. He did that and coached our youth rec department for 30-plus years. And was actually honored with the street we grew up on. I thought I named Peterson Place.
Yes. You know, what you've been able to overcome in this speech-wise, it overshadows all your football, what you've been able to achieve on a professional football field, because as inspired as I am by watching you play football, I'm more inspired by you now after learning your story and learning, you know, the hard work you've been able to keep up after your career's over.
Yeah, and just to piggyback off that, it's great when I go out to the schools and speak, and you know, some of the kids are following you on Instagram, and as I'm driving home or sitting in the hotel room, I would get an inbox from a kid who said the speech meant a lot, and they're gonna fine tune some things in their life to become successful. And to me, that's just like scoring a touchdown.
We've talked about speech impediments here, we've talked about it, but we're talking about a stuttering situation. Growing up, and what was the lowest of the low? Like, do you remember a time when you were in school?
Yeah.
And do you feel that you're an inspiration to those kids now that might have struggled with that?
Yeah. It's in the book. It was, I believe, my 5th grade year when I had a terrible day at school, and I couldn't say anything come out. And my dad, He took me in the bathroom. That's where we used to have our one-on-one conversations, whether it was good or bad. and he told me that it could have been worse, that you are blessed with a gift. And at that age, I thought my gift was I could run real fast, I could jump real high. But the older I get, the more I realize my gift is motivating others. And that's what I just try to continue to do.
When you do your speeches, are they primarily to kids at schools, or do you go to a broader scope at a corporate level? And really, what is the essence of your message?
Yeah, it's a broad level. I have spoke at the Chicago Tax Club here in the city, the leadership of Georgia in Statesboro, Georgia, at University of Florida, their speech classes. And my message is just hard work pays off. For the younger kids, I always start out, I scream out hard work, and I have them follow up with pays off. That's how I start, and that's how I finish it, because I want them to see me as someone who worked hard, and it paid off.
Do you ever get to see, because, you know, you see the kids that you inspire nowadays, the fifth graders, sixth graders, or the adults you get to talk to. How about the guys that you went to school with in fifth grade? How inspired by you they must be to see, look at the trials this young kid went to when we were sitting in class together in fifth grade, and right. what you've been able
or
to achieve.
Or those kids that, you know, may have picked on you or mocked you, right?
Yeah.
Anybody ever apologize?
No apologies, and I don't want them because, you know, it made me who I am today. But the kids I grew up with, you know, I think I'm an impact on their lives, because now they have young kids who going through different situations, who they reach out to me and try to inspire them, whether it's not getting recruited by a major Division I school, not being recruited at all. And, you know, for me, I ended up going Georgia Southern, which was 1AA at the time, and worked hard, and 6th-round draft pick, and 8-year career.
Yeah, it's any time, and Tom talks about running backs all the time, you want hungry running backs.
Yeah.
So there's a few now that become first-round draft picks. Not as many as in the old days, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Guys might go number one, you know, overall at the running back position, but I think you would define, I think these guys would agree, you defined what a hungry running back was, because
yep.
you were out to continually impress and improve, and sometimes you got passed over, even on an 8-year stay here. I mean, I think about your Super Bowl year in 2006. You know, we had Thomas Jones, the drafted Cedric Benson. What about AP?
Yeah.
Believe me. And Tom and I discussed it at that time. I don't know if he remembers, but that locker room respected you so much. That's why I say, what about AP? Because everyone used to say, hey, what about AP? What about AP? It was a rhetorical question that no one could answer.
Yeah, and that's part of my message to the high school kids who are going on to college. In high school, I was a superstar. And in college, I was basically rather below the university, the name of the university. Got here for the Bears and became a role player. And some guys who are superstars in college can't accept that drop from being a superstar to a role player, and those are the ones who don't have the 8-year career. So it's all about playing your part and doing the best at that and maximize it, and what you alluded to, an 8-year career.
I think all of that is kind of encapsulated in one run when you were in college, and if anybody wants to see it, all you got to do is go to YouTube and put your name in there, and it comes up every time, and that was an amazing run.
Yeah, that was a and the timing of that after that run, and thing I like to show to the high school and college kids is I didn't come out after that play. I stayed in, and 3 plays later scored a touchdown. So they look at the run, but I look at the conditioning part of it. And that whole week of practice, I didn't practice. I had the turf toe injury, but it was just the hunger, the drive to be successful, and never taking the play off. If the offense, the ones were going, I was going to be in there, and that's just part of it.
Do the young kids now ever bring up name recognition? because Adrian Peterson is a popular name, whether you're a football fan or you're not. And does that ever come up, any confusion, or ask you, have you ever met Adrian Peterson, although you are Adrian Peterson?
All the time. And I instruct them. I'm the original Adrian Peterson.
That's right.
And, and you know, it's always fun because he's great at what he does. And so, you know, it's always great.
What was the funniest story? What maybe got confused where, like, maybe you made reservations at a restaurant, or was there ever a time that, you know, people thought that they were meeting the other Adrian Peterson? Or
yeah, I was signing a couple of signs I had. A couple of kids came up with the football card, and I was like, "Nah, that's the other guy."
Have you ever met the other Adrian Peterson?
Not personally, just when we was playing, just passing by. But
see, I would think the normal reaction would be, "We got to have a picture,
right?
We got to have a uniform exchange."
Yeah, you know what, man? I'm just a country boy, man. Who you know, I don't really.
Well, you know what's weird? Because nowadays, Adrian, you have a lot of guys changing jerseys right after the game. They take off their equipment, they sign them and trade them. And that was probably, I don't know if it started at the end of your era or not, but we see it a lot more now. If I was Adrian Peterson, I would go, I would try to exchange just for the fun of the novelty of it.
Yeah, it would have been. But, you know, I don't have any jerseys hanging up. I don't have any footballs up in my house, so
that's impressive.
That you won the Walter Payton Award in college, right? Do you have that somewhere?
Yes, at the house in here in Chicago. Oh yeah, that was a great award. And my freshman year, I thought I was going to win it, but Jerry Azuma won it, and so we always take a picture with each other about two Payton Award winners.
How is it when you go back to Georgia Southern? Because I can't imagine there's a ton of guys in the NFL from Georgia Southern. Then you go and have a lengthy career, and then you kind of establish yourself after your career is over, and take some major step forward. And you mentioned that Georgia Southern just went through an expansion of their facility and stuff. Is it neat for you to go back down to Georgia Southern, or have you been removed from it enough now where you have so many other projects going on, and it's, Georgia Southern is just something that really helped you get to this point?
Oh, no. I go back often. I try to make at least two or three games. Georgia Southern is a special place for me. Of course, they gave me the opportunity to receive a free education as well as to play football. And I'm still kind of a big deal.
You guys are laughing, but if you go on social media and check him out when he goes, he is the king down there. People post pictures together with him like he's the president of the United States, honestly.
But you know what? I think it's not necessarily, I would say, about my 8-year career, but it's about after every game, I would be the last one to leave. We used to take the buses over to the stadium. And after every game, I would be riding with the equipment guy, sitting on the cooler, because I would just stay out there and sign autographs. Mm. And I still get a couple inboxes saying, man, I remember you were the only one out there, you signed the football. But I didn't have anywhere to go but to eat and probably to take a nap. So, if the fans wanted an autograph, as long as I had a ride back to the locker room, I would stay there and sign.
That says a lot about you, man.
Yeah, I think that's what people hold most, when they recognize Adrian Peterson.
You've obviously your family went through just an unthinkable tragedy, in February of this year with the passing of your son, AJ. How are you guys doing, and how are you doing?
Standing strong. I think it's still a long journey.
Yeah.
Sometimes it hits you at the weirdest spots. I can remember sitting in the Atlanta airport waiting on a connection. And I think I might have been on Facebook or something, or just thinking about him. And I just started crying in the airport. And I'm like, man, this is going to be a long journey. But, having his siblings, Aiden, Amelia and Alana, you know, to when you come home and wake up in the morning to squeeze on them. And we constantly talk about him because we want him to live forever. You know, we often talk about what would AJ be doing now. Remember how AJ used to laugh? You know, because we want to keep him fresh and not only their memories, but also in our memories.
Your whole life's been a journey. You know, you talk about every aspect from the fifth grade stuff that you've had to the college, to the pros, to, I mean, your journey is,
a full life lived already.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it was a couple others with our first daughter, Amelia. A lot of people don't know, but at the 6-month visit, we were advised to abort the pregnancy. She had multi cysts on her brain and both kidneys. We prayed about it. Our parents came up, prayed about it. We moved forward with the pregnancy. She was born with only one functioning kidney, which that's all you need to live. The other one is shrinking, and which is a good thing, so they don't have to go in and physically remove it. So, yeah, man.
She's healthy and vibrant and doing well.
Yeah,
God bless you.
She just turned 5 in September. So, that's another testimony, man, that if you have faith, you can continue to move on.
And there was a second book you wrote, right?
I'm starting on a second book.
Starting. And this one more of a spiritual angle to it? Or what's this one going to be about?
Not sure. Just on my first book, did a lot of research about how to write a book, and they just said, put your ideas on paper. So I'm in between. I take a lot of pictures. So what I'm thinking of is quotes from different actual pictures, not pictures you pull off of Facebook or a picture you pull from somewhere else, but physical pictures that have a personal meaning to myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like to post instead of pulling from another article. Stuff that I took that has a real meaning to me.
Well, you're a deep thinking young man, and it's a pleasure to have you.
Yeah,
no doubt about it.
Yeah,
so,
if
we can we switch gears and talk a little football?
Of course. Have you been
watching these guys?
I've been keeping up.
Yeah,
keeping up. Yeah.
Quick thoughts.
Yeah. It's rough, man, and you know, I think everybody understands how tough it is to win this league, and that's why I want the fans to understand that. It's tough. You know, it's tough, man. I mean, this is the NFL.
Matt Forte, you know, talk about the running back position specifically. The way you've seen him grow throughout his career, you know, over 100 catches last year, now, you know, back involved in everything. But Matt is an inspirational player on this football team, and in his position for you to be able to watch.
Yeah. I always say he's one of the most underrated guys in the NFL.
He hates hearing that, dude.
He hates
hearing that now.
Yeah.
Because he goes, what do I have to do to be, you know, thought of?
I mean, when you talk about football players, he should be mentioned with the 1-5 that come out your mouth, in my opinion, mm-hmm. at the running back position. You know, because our job depends so much on other guys. And, you know, it's a puzzle, which every player is, but... you know, he's just a great back. And I say that in a task that his name should be mentioned more, you know, for the things that he does.
What are we looking at post-bye week here? Ten weeks left, fellas, starting with the Vikings on Sunday.
You can only talk about one game. You know, you can talk, there is 10 weeks remaining, but you better only be focused on the Minnesota Vikings. Because the way the Bears concluded their last game, they have to carry some of that into this week's performance. And I like what John Fox did. He let him rest, but he didn't let him get away.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to keep football on your mind. It's difficult to let football get out of your mind for 2 weeks because some of these guys have to completely relearn everything they've been learning for the last 6 months. So I have big expectations for the Bears against Minnesota. They're a good football team, but it's a divisional opponent. There's a little bit of something added to every divisional opponent you play.
Yeah, and just like you say, for the bye week, Your time off depends on how you've been playing,
right?
What you've been doing, you know, just like anything else. If you've been coming to work on time, you've been front and center, you get a little more time off. But if not, then you want to keep them around, keep their minds, like you say, in the playbook, so they don't go into left field and have to come back and refocus, because it's tough.
How does it help someone like a running back, because they take more pounding than anybody? Does it kind of refresh your body having a week off?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think for everybody, it's always good to take a step back to clear your mind, but you just don't want to take 2 and 3 steps back and try to refocus.
I certainly hope they're a little salty on Sunday, you know? A little salty from that loss, and now, you know, it's division. Division games, you got to get nasty.
Now, going to the mind of Adrian Peterson of the Minnesota Vikings, in Larry brought up before, this is his first time seeing the Bears play a 34 defense. Are as a running back, do you see it differently than you would a four-man line that you faced since you've been playing against the Bears in the mind of a running back?
No. You have to always switch gears because, I mean, you know, each week you're going to see difference. I can remember when we played Pittsburgh. They did something no one else did. You would see the safety on the line of scrimmage, and then at the snap of the ball, he would run to center field. So, I mean, you know, you have to take, like you said, each game, each opponent differently.
Well, it'll be fun, no doubt about it. Love the division, love playing those games. I know you certainly had to enjoy it as well, but this Adrian Peterson, certainly more interesting, yes, than the Minnesota Vikings star, Adrian Peterson. But I do have to say, it is always fun calling games of great players, and we'll do that on Sunday. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Pleasure, man.
Inspirational
awesome.
Young man.
Enjoy.
Love talking to you. For Tom Thayer and Larry Mayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. That's going to wrap us up here on Chicago Bears Roundtable. Thank you for watching.